Okay, welcome to the CMP, you guys. It's been a minute. CMP standing for CRO and publisher of the Express News. And I am Sarah Bryant, your host. And joining me is Kate Weber, CRO of Express News, and Mark Medici, the publisher and CEO of Express News.
Hey,
so welcome.
Hi, Sarah.
What, 2 months since we have spoken?
Feels like it's been a year.
It feels so, yes, it feels so much longer than 2 months. Absolutely. But I feel like we've been doing so much, right, mm-hmm. in order to meet the market challenges and then maybe some other market challenges with products and first-party data that Hearst has to offer. So we've had a lot going on, to be fair. But one of the first things that I want to talk about what we've had going on is this little acquisition that is part of what we talked about last time, but also new brands of Austin Monthly and Austin Home, in addition to San Antonio Magazine. Open Sky was our partner in the acquisition. And Mark, do you want to kick it off of just like, how did that happen after San Antonio Magazine? Now we've got two other magazines. It's wild.
Yeah, I mean, the reason we haven't met in a couple months is that we were finalizing the deal to bring on Austin Monthly and Austin Home. I'm really excited about both of the acquisitions. The last time we filmed this segment, we were literally within inside of like days of completing that acquisitions, which is why we, on some levels, kind of pushed this one out. You know, it really came at the end of the year. We had a really good transaction with Open Sky Media for San Antonio Magazine and got a call the week before New Year's. So the week in between Christmas and New Year's, and they inquired to ask if we would be interested. Austin is a very good market, obviously, to say the least, but it's a good strategic market really for our advertisers. We have a lot of advertisers growing north into the Hill Country, whether that's Fredericksburg, whether it's New Braunfels, San Marcos, Buda, Kyle. So Austin, it just made a lot of sense. You know, I think I got some inquiries are like, oh, are you minimizing your efforts in San Antonio? And the answer is no, not at all. We're actually maximizing the efforts in San Antonio because the I-35 corridor is just exploding. And a lot of the advertisers that we do business with in San Antonio, like I said, they're extending their businesses naturally north up the corridor. So from a kind of a shingle perspective, it made a lot of sense to enter Austin from a brand perspective. Because on the digital side of the equation, because of the Hearst network effect, we enter now Austin arguably as the largest provider of first-party data in the entire marketplace. So now it's good to have a brand to attract people with and to you know, activate our clients here in San Antonio against a brand. So very exciting.
I know. It is so exciting. I mean, we've been in so many client conversations where we talk about the megalopolis. And then we
think you made up that word.
I tried. I'm hoping it sticks. Is it sticking? Yeah, I've made up words in the past. So, you know, it happens. I've put them into the dictionary. I know.
The Bryant.
Yeah, you can look up loped later. That was one I did. Anyway, but going back to the client story, I thought it was also interesting. We recently talked to UT where they were like, their reaction to us being up in Austin was also like, oh, yeah, because you just had our city in between, right? Like, we didn't, we're not separating the markets anymore when we talk to clients. It's like, I'm going to go through this whole I-35 corridor, like Mark mentioned. So anyway, what conversations come to mind for you that you've had recently?
I think it makes a lot of sense. For us, just having the opportunity to have traveled to Austin a couple times over the past 60 days, it is amazing how closely aligned those two places are. However, the sense of community is different between the two, which I think poses a really interesting strategy piece for us as we work with our advertisers, that the messaging that really resonates with somebody in San Antonio may not in Austin. And I think that's an area where we will really flourish, is being custom in our approaches for our clients as they work to grow in San Antonio and also in Austin.
Yeah.
I don't know why the Burger Bash keeps coming to my mind.
Yes, the Burger Bash was awesome.
That might do well in both markets. I was blown away. I was floored by how many people literally came to this event called the Burger Bash. It was 800 people. Yeah. I think there were 17 different types of burger
that you could try and vote on with your wooden nickel. It was fantastic. I cast my vote. Now, sadly, and I cast my vote for Thunder Chief, and if they're listening, you know, you should have won. but the winner absolutely is deserved, and that was well, I'll look at it.
Yeah.
But anyway, the winner was absolutely deserved, and what a fun day. I mean, bragging rights for the champs.
Yeah.
And also, I feel like Austin is very foodie centric. Mm-hmm. San Antonio, I feel like, is a different foodie environment. So yeah, the programming that we're going to put together is going to be incredible, because I feel like it's going to be very market specific.
Yeah.
I think the magazines bring back to newspapers a sense of that, the need for really, just grassroots marketing. Mm-hmm. I think magazines, especially city magazines, have historically been really, really good at that. It's not that we're not good at that. It's just that as we evolve, that's not something that we put a lot of emphasis on. But I think that seeing the Burger Bash and then looking at the events calendar and you know, Jennifer McGinnis and Madeline who run, and Randy Stevenson who run the two magazines on the editorial side, they're thinking around the integration of marketing and journalism is just really, the intersection of it is really cool. And I think that next year I'm really excited to see a full kind of 12-month calendar of events, not only just in Austin, but here in San Antonio as well. We're going to do a big, you know, a really cool event that we'll discuss later at a later date around Halloween. We're not going to let that out now. But yeah, I think that doing like 6 to 8 events a year in Austin and 6 to 8 events a year in San Antonio, to your point, the markets are different.
Yeah.
And I think we want to celebrate the differences in the market. Mm-hmm. One isn't good, one isn't bad. They're just different.
Yeah.
And so burgers might be great in Austin. Tacos might be amazing in San Antonio. So,
absolutely.
You know, there's all different things that we can do from an execution perspective. And I think that to have 800 people show up on a Saturday and walk through 17 local restaurants in Austin, and
amazing.
That's real cool engagement. It's hard to like fake that.
Yeah.
So super exciting.
I think that it's really cool because you know, not only do we have like the hard hitting journalism brands, right? But now we also have these pulses on the city that are lifestyle, that are a different lens, that are a different voice, and it makes our voice of the community just more well-rounded.
It makes our voice more well-rounded and our advertisers.
Exactly.
Because remember, we've got a very strong cohort of millennial audiences in both San Antonio and Austin.
Yeah.
And millennials care about how the brands make them feel.
Mm-hmm.
So by us being able to expose our advertisers to a really positive event, helps them carry their message with a little bit more ability to connect with their communities. So I love the idea that we're able to do this.
Yeah.
I know. It's exciting. Just more to come.
More to come.
And more events and more coverage. It's the pulse on the city.
Well, and the sales team's amazing.
Yeah.
So, I've gotten to meet a new sales team and our marketing director there, events director there, the editorial team there. Just such a pride for Austin.
Absolutely.
They know Austin inside and out. We have great relationships, and I'm just really looking forward to that expansion of our overall sales effort.
I know. It is awesome. So Mark touched on it a little bit, but with these acquisitions, right, we're also building the first-party data on the back end that also helps the advertiser and the reader alike. But And right now we're like shaping this first party story that we've had for a while here. But I think that, and I just want to tout this a little bit, is from the advertiser's perspective, like, I don't know that the impact of third party going away has really been felt because they like keep moving the line, right? Mm. Google being they, is like, we're going to delay this one more year. We're going to delay this another year. Mm-hmm. And each time that it gets delayed, then that reality isn't faced for the client, right? Of that third party going away. But as people have shifted over to first party, we now have more stats that say, first party will build a deeper relationship for you and your brand. Mm-hmm. So I have a little stat that you can see 2x revenue increase and 1.5 cost savings because you're avoiding spoilage in this way, right? You're really getting to the audience that matters. So I know we talk a lot to the clients about, hey, we've got these first party solutions, but then to see their side too, that you're going to get a better return on investment. So I don't know, first party,
I think the conversation around the deprecation of the cookie, even though it's being kicked down the road, I still think that from a marketer perspective, I think that it's changed the conversation from a third party conversation to a first party conversation. And I think you're totally right. I think that smart marketers see the value difference in buying quality over quantity. And I just think the quantity play across the linked web is somewhat dead. You see all of the off-platform, the rise of off-platform advertising, whether that be OTT, whether it's inside of the apps, whether it's side of something like Apple News Plus or all of those myriad of products. I mean, we see it in our own business where search and referral are constantly now changing as Google and other players are trying to identify the best pathway to manage their business, quite frankly. So, you know, our Comscore results just came out first quarter. Hearst Newspapers is the largest first-party media brand in San Antonio. That is incredible for us. We penetrate digitally on a first party 31% of the marketplace. It's the largest single source of first party in San Antonio, the seventh largest city in the world in the United States. So I'm super excited. MySA is up 27% year over year. ExpressNews.com is up 16%. So you know, I think consumers as media becomes more fragmented, the audience is moving to higher quality content creators, and we're really proud that we're one of those. And the magazines then help reinforce that as we build those digital brands as well. So
yeah, agreed. I mean, consumers have less and less time at their disposal.
Yes.
And so the fact that they're choosing to come to MySA and EN.com and spend time, because I think time spent on site has also gone up dramatically. It's not as though folks are coming and saying, oops, I didn't mean to be here, but they're spending time with our stories and digesting them. And alongside that, they're digesting our advertisers' content. So it's super important as we move towards quality versus a quantity type of environment. Also in July, there'll be some new privacy laws, specifically in Texas, that it's super important that your first party data supplier has the largest amount so that when these privacy laws go into effect, there's enough mass in order for you to make an impact. And we do. So we will still be able to geo-target. Other entities will not be able to geo-target because they just won't have the amount of inventory that allows them to do so.
I'm interested in the law change in Texas, and how other media companies are managing through that. Throughout the first quarter, I probably have spent 30 to 40 hours just with Hearst Legal to make sure that the way that we're managing data and content rights across the site is going to be compliant in the state of Texas. And I am fascinated with the compliance is a big deal, right?
Yeah,
especially
it's
in
huge.
this age of data compliance. And mm-hmm. it's not to say that other companies aren't going to be compliant, but you know what Hearst puts us through from a compliance perspective is appropriate.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
While it's painful, it does make me feel good to know that as we get into the end of the second quarter in Q3 and then Q4 especially, that our business is going to continue without any mm-hmm. disruption from a oh my God moment. Yeah. We're not in compliance here. So it's a shout out to the Hearst legal team, but also it's reinforcement of doing business with a Hearst owned local media property.
Absolutely.
I think that we do everything to double check, triple check, and make sure that everything that we're doing is right for the client, right for our business.
Yeah. And that's not only so when we think about first party data. From a perspective of getting access to somebody else's. It's also super important that our advertisers think about how are they collecting their own first party data.
Yeah.
And there's a number of ways that we've helped advertisers do that, from contests to events where they're able to collect their own data. And by virtue of that, they become stronger.
Mm-hmm.
So whether we can serve our clients through helping them access ours or building their own,
mm-hmm.
both are important. And both are things that we should be talking about with our clients.
Yeah,
because then we can take what they've built
mm-hmm.
and bring even more lookalikes to it
yeah.
because of the volume that we have. So through certain mm-hmm. platforms that we push their advertising through. So
yep.
it makes a lot of sense. It comes full yeah. circle either way.
Yeah, it does.
It does.
Yeah. Well, I think that the ComScore note right is a huge one that we're going to plan and put marketing materials together for. But I think that it speaks to all of the content work that's going on in the edit teams and then also with the advertising mm-hmm. Sponsored content that we're producing. So what are the editorial pieces? And I know I'm just bringing this on you.
Yeah.
It wasn't an agenda item. But what are the editorial pieces that you feel like are really strong that maybe, an advertiser comes to mind, like the sports podcast that we've put so much into and the high school sports, Ron from the Car, that we've put so much into. What are the pieces that you feel like an advertiser should absolutely come on and be like a sponsor of this? Mm-hmm. Like,
it's a fun question.
Yeah, I know.
Hear what you say.
I know.
Well, I mean, I think the first of all, the newsroom has had an amazing year for first quarter across newsrooms across the country, both broadcast and print. It's really kind of the award season. So mm-hmm. first and foremost, the Express News. A shout out to both Mark Dawson, our editor in chief, and Josh Brodesky, our editorial board editor. The editorial board was awarded first place from Headliners and Pointer nationally. Regardless of size of newspaper, they beat the New York Times, Los Angeles Times, Wall Street Journal, you name it, for their editorial, their four-part series on the border, the political crisis at the border. So that was an amazing piece, and it mm-hmm. was recognized. And then Mark and his team won the investigative journalism, the top award awarded to any newspaper in the nation for Bleeding Out. It was a series that looked at people in rural Texas that would essentially die in transit to the hospital
mm-hmm.
For not having access to a quick transfusion.
Yeah.
That was in partnership with the Dallas Morning News, and it was an incredible award. So, I mean, just in general, advertisers, when they advertise with us, and I say this to many of our clients, those advertising dollars are reinvested into mm-hmm. this newsroom, which makes an investment in this community. So advertising with the Express News and MySA, not only is it the largest first party digital audience in San Antonio, which gives you value as a client, mm-hmm. right? Because you're reaching the cohorts that are coming to us, but you're also helping spread a tremendous amount of good through the reporting that we do. Specifically, listen, the Ron from the car thing is really cool.
Yeah.
Ronald is an amazing reporter and just a really bright personality to be around. It's going to generate 35 to 45 million impressions over the course of the calendar year. Mm-hmm. He also just took third place in an international marketing award for INMA, awarded that series globally, the third best journalism project on the planet. Yeah. So I think that's something to invest in. And then, I just think our prep sports coverage in general. Mm-hmm. We have the Prep Sports Awards coming up.
Yes.
It's amazing. It's there's a lot of, I actually think that from a broadcast perspective, the city covers prep sports really well. There's some people, Don Harris does a really great job. Jason Mendix does a really nice job. Our team does a great job covering that. And I think that, kids and parents of kids, they love to see themselves online and in print. So we have a lot of advertisers that swarm to that type of moment because they can capture it. We have San Antonio Lights is coming back up. Mm-hmm. The first, it was launched last Sunday. An incredible bio. Vince Davis is leading that from the newsroom. So I just think any investment, we want our content to drive audiences. And more we're being able to sit in front of clients and say, hey, the quality of our journalists is attracting the largest audience in San Antonio. Mm-hmm. That those two things are, they support one another. And it's creating a nice level of momentum for our business. And as the business transitions, it's nice to still feel that kind of wind in our sails.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And because we recently had some crazy weather events. Mm-hmm. Weather also is an incredible opportunity.
Yeah, it's still wild for me. It's still wild for me to open up my Apple app and see the San Antonio Express News featured for their weather content. This initiative's only a year old. Mm-hmm. The weather last week drove 410,000 eyeballs to it.
I believe it. Yes.
The biggest single web event in a week in the history of our newspaper, bigger than Uvalde. So you think about that. It also irritates the heck out of me that we weren't doing weather sooner. But we've got a great meteorologist, Anthony Franz. Once again, he's going to drive 35 to 50 million views. He's all over TikTok. He's all over Instagram Reels. He's all over YouTube Reels. Like 410,000 visits on weather coverage.
I love how approachable he is and how he does those little snack bites on
he's great.
Social. Yeah. I watch him and I'm like, yes, Anthony, I totally get it.
he's great.
Yes, I know. Yeah. But the hail alone from last week was nuts. And then, of course, everything going on in Houston. Yeah. So
true.
Yeah. Well, you guys, I'm so glad that we got back together.
I know
it's been a bit, but my goodness, look at all that we have. Next time we'll cover some of these amazing events that Mark has teased out. Yeah. We'll cover what's going on with ComScore even further, any new first-party data. But I think that we're going to have a lot of events to talk about, too.
I think so, too. And we're always open to questions.
Absolutely.
Really, this is a two-way conversation. So
I agree. Yes, please submit your questions, and that way we can answer them live on the podcast.
Wow.
So this has been the CMP, and we are closing out for this time, but we'll see you next time. And thank you both, Mark and Kate.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks, Kate.